or at least 1 Corinthians.
Read 1 Corinthians 1 and 17. Words of the beloved Apostle Paul. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I would like you to notice the content of that 18th verse concerning the gospel. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Now the little word for preaching that's found in this text really means the thought of a message. There's a message in the cross. There's a word in the cross. There's something to be understood. There's something for me. There's something for you that is proclaimed through the crosswork of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now if we consider the life of the Lord Jesus, we learn many beautiful lessons concerning the graces of the Lord Jesus that pleased His Father God. But when we look at the cross of the Lord Jesus, we look at Calvary, we're learning a totally different lesson. There's a message in it for the race of humanity. Sinful, dying sons and daughters of Adam's race. There's a message in Calvary. Now, when people look at the message of Calvary, we find in our little text that there are different attitudes. There are some people, they look at the work of Calvary with all its violence, its bloodshed, its shame, its finality, its death, and they shake their head. They say, that can't be the way of salvation. That can't be. How can a man in weakness, who is crucified, be a savior from eternal judgment? That can't be. That's foolishness. It doesn't add up. But then there are others that look at Calvary, and they learn the truth of what Calvary means to God, and what Calvary means for their need. And as we find in the text, they're saved. They're saved. Through the message of the cross, it meets their need. There's something in the work of Calvary, with all the violence and the sadness and the weeping and the darkness and the solemnity of the cross of the Lord Jesus, that meets their need and they're saved. My friend in the meeting tonight, in view of what you've been listening to, of a man who from the bowels of darkness and despair, he cries out, salvation is of the Lord. I hope that there's one in this little audience tonight, and from the depth of your heart, the despair of your heart and your darkness is, what must I do to be saved? The answer, friend, is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is the answer for us. We poor, frail, sinful, dying, helpless sinners. There's an answer for us in the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now many people think that the answer for their sins is to turn over a new leaf. And there are others that feel that the answer for their sins to God is to definitely keep yourselves from the impurities that are all around you in the world. Now let me say very emphatically, that is man's moral responsibility to keep his mind and body pure, and shame on the man that does it. That's what God says. But to keep your mind and body pure from defilement is not the answer to heaven or your passport to glory. No, my friend, that which you do which is right before God is of no value cleanse that which is sinful in your actions and mind. But let me say, even deeper than that, even deeper than the fact of your sins, is what you are by nature, a sinner by birth. That's where our problem lies, dear friend. And God has an answer for what I am and for what I've done in Calvary. And that's what we would like to present to you in the closing of the meeting tonight. First of all, I would like you to think of the cross. Now, whenever you read about the cross in the New Testament, the thought that is being conveyed is the shame, the finality of it, the terrible curse from God that's linked with the man that's nailed upon the cross. It's the absolute ultimate of reproach and shame. That's what's in view in the cross. Now, we see the cross around us today, people hanging around their neck, and they're putting it on their belts, you see that. And they're putting it on their buildings, and they make a very popular thing out of it. But I want to tell you, friend, that is absolutely the wrong conception of the cross. If you understood the reality of the value of the cross, you would never hang it around your neck. I say that for you, dear young folk, tonight. Whatever you do, don't be deceived. The hanging a little chain of gold with a cross on it around your neck. It's your condemnation to do so. But if you understand what the cross meant, you know what you're doing by that? You're saying that cross around my neck is what my sins were. And is what I gave to the Son of God out of the wickedness of my heart. Don't be so foolish to be deceived. Let God teach you the value of the cross. Live it! Don't put it around your neck. That's the difference. That's what God wants. Men and women that will live the value of the cross. Understand its saving power. First of all, I would like you to think then of the cross with all its shame and its darkness and reproach as a monument. The cross of the monument. There it stands. Down in the capital of the USA, there's a large monument to President Washington. Washington's kneeling. And there it stands, a solitary, unique, high monument. And all around the bottom of that monument, you may read statements, quotations from Washington's speeches. You may read of the dates of the battles that he won. And you read of the fortunes of the man on another side. And there is that large monument. And it stands through storm and sunshine, whether it's stranger or citizen. And they gather around that monument. There it stands, a solitary monument with a tale to be told. And friend, Calvary's cross, it stands to a whole world with a message, a monument. The first message that Calvary's monument speaks to you and to me is this, friend. It tells us of the terrible condition of the darkness of man's vile sin. There would never have been necessity for a cross if not for your sin. Right. May I ask you soberly and kindly tonight, friend, have you ever considered that your sins are used for the darkness, for the bloodshed, for the violence, for the death, and the groans and tears of the sinless Son of God on the cross? Your sin. Oh, what a monument. You can't hide from it. You can't get away from it, friend. You can't run away from that monument. God has planted it. Love all the ages of mankind. Your sins. Christ died for our sins. And every drop of precious blood that flowed from Emmanuel's wounds. And every tear that stained that torn and bleeding face. And every pain that racked that holy body. Every moment of sorrow when that crown of thorns was upon that sacred brow
was because of my sins. Oh, I gladly tonight bow at the lovely wounded feet of the man of the cross. Now, my sins, oh, the bliss of that glorious thought, my sins, not in part, but the whole, were nailed to his cross, and I bear them no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, I love to visit Calvary in the scriptures and just go back to what God has to say about that cross. For now I see its message. Now I see its beauty, my friend. And I'd love to take you by the hand, young man, older man, tonight, and lead you away to Calvary and let you see what God has to say about the cross and your sins. Your sins. Oh, may you bow your head in shame, young man. Your sins are the reason for the cross. Never would there have been the sorrows of my Savior if it were not for your sin. You've never sworn. You've never smoked pot. You've never put a beer to your lips. And I hope you never will. And let me say to you kindly, within that breath, there lies the potential for every atrocity and shame that's ever been developed in the wicked cunning of humanity and expressed in its violence and rage and shame in the darkness. There lies the seed of every evil within, latent within your breast. And may I say to you kindly, young man, young woman, that cross, that blood-stained cross of Calvary, with all its darkness and the groans and tears, because what lies within your breast, God so loved you that he sent his beloved Son to that shameful cross to be dealt with on account of the sin that's within your breast and in your life. Oh, I would tonight that you would bow at Calvary. Bow your stubborn will. Bow your proud heart at the feet of the Savior of Calvary and acknowledge my sin. My sin. My sin. Reason for drops of precious blood of Christ. Money, there it stands. But oh, I'm glad, friend, it will stand for all eternity. Oh, what a monument for all eternity. And every praise that will echo in heaven, and every honor that will be attributed to the Lord Jesus in heaven, will all stem because of the cross. We'll look back to the cross with joy, beloved. My, what joy. Ah, sometimes my little heart grows homesick, just for the day when we'll shout in heaven of the praises of the Lamb of God, the man of Calvary. What a day it will be when unitedly we lift our voice and gaze upon him and shout unto himself in a worthy, fitting manner and ascribe honor to the man who was hung on that awful cross, bearing my sin. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Thank God for the cross. What a monument of mercy. What a monument to my sin. But I tell you, friend, listen. Every groan from the depth of hell will be because sinner did not believe God of the value of the cross. That's why men will be in hell. Oh, my dear man tonight, dear woman, may I say to you kindly, hasten, hasten away to Calvary. Don't linger, don't reason. Don't believe the devil that would have you put it off and embrace the world and go on into more deeper sin. Hasten to Calvary, get to the monument, and there read the blessed inscription that God has given. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. My, what a precious monument of the mercy and the goodness of God, sinners like us. But I would like to remind you as well that the cross is a guarantee, sealed with precious blood. Whenever a person who is saved wants to look back to the absolute assurance that their sins are forgiven and their soul is ready for heaven. They don't look back to an experience. That's where a lot of people make a mistake. They look back to an experience. They had a happy feeling. And you know, then after a while, they get into all kinds of doubts. And they don't know what to do about it. And they think to themselves, well, now I had a happy feeling, and I did this, and I did that, and so on. Ah, oh, my friend, that's no guarantee whatsoever. You look back to the cross, and there it is, sealed with precious blood. You need go no further, friend. God's guarantee that the sin question is settled. That settles it. Oh, as I look back to the cross, there I see that God has devised the great work of Calvary. Listen, friend, if you could only get it into your soul tonight, the preciousness of that cross to the heart of God. Do you know that for over 400 years, before that cross was ever erected on Calvary's brow, God was moving in the nations. Moving in the nation of Israel. Moving with the Greek culture. Moving with the Roman Empire. To bring all these nations into position. For what reason? To provide a cross for Christ to die. Oh, how solemn. But my friend, how beautiful when once you're saved. God was moving. My, the very nations of men were being dealt with like checkers on a board. God was moving to bring the cross into being, where his beloved son would pour out his heart and display God's heart towards sinners and every sorrow the blessed Savior bore. Friend, tonight God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Young man in the meeting without a Savior, let me take you back to the cross tonight. There's the guarantee that God is satisfied. You know, if we could only get searching sinners to look at what satisfies God. You know what's amazing? I love to tell them. Love to tell them this thing. Here you are tonight, and you're trying to conjure up something inside to give to God. Or maybe look back over your life, and you're looking for some few things that look kind of nice, and you did your best, and it really cost you something to do it, and you'd like to drag those things out of memory and bring them to God. Listen, my friend, tonight, God is already satisfied about sin. He's satisfied with Jesus. That's what satisfies him. He's already satisfied. And here you are, you're trying to do something to satisfy it. My dear friend, you're working on the wrong end of the stick. You'll never get it. Never get it. God is already satisfied with what the Lord Jesus paid. And this is the way he puts it. This man, speaking of Christ on the cross, he says after he offered one sacrifice for sins, forever, he sat down on the right hand of God. God is already satisfied, and he's trying to tell you about it then. And the cross, that blood-stained, cruel, dark cross, is a guarantee that the sin question is already settled. That's it, friend, for you. That's salvation. If you ever get to see that, you'll be able to say, well, boy, I'm saved. I'm saved. I remember a dear man I knew sitting in a gospel meeting like this. And when he went out of the meeting, just when he got up off his seat, after they sang the last hymn, he went to go out the door, and he just thought, well, I see him. I see it, he said. And he went down to the preacher at the door. And he says, I see it, I see it. He says, what you see? Well, he says, there's only one thing to see. Christ died for me. Never saw that before. My friend, tonight, that's God's guarantee that the sin question is settled. But I must close the meeting. But my friend, I want to tell you tonight that the cross, not only is it a monument, and the cross is a guarantee. I was thinking of it as the cross as a lighthouse, as it sheds its beam into the murky darkness of the fog of this poor dark world, seeking to direct men to the man of Calvary. The man who died on Calvary lives tonight, friend. God raised him from the dead. The empty cross and the empty tomb is God's revelation to the world that He is satisfied on account of your sin. Oh, tonight, may I but point you to Calvary, point you to the cross. The message of the cross is, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My friend, tonight, that cross is all your soul requires to satisfy God. And you've already accepted it. I'm trying to tell you about it tonight. Oh, what a precious Savior. But let me tell you, friend, that cross is a shelter from wrath that is coming. Oh, how precious. I remember one time when I was a boy, we were playing in a park, and it started the thunder and lightning. And of course, most boys are afraid of lightning, and I was one of them. I hated it. And I don't know, I always thought, I suppose, that I'd get struck, or whatever. But anyway, we ran to hide away there from the store. And the only place we could find was a little crevice underneath two large boulders. Four boys. We all pressed into that little crevice. And the lightning flashed and the thunder rumbled and the rain came down. But we were all sheltered inside that little crevice of the rock. Oh, friend, tonight that's what Calvary is. God invites you to flee to the cross for your salvation. God has accepted it and He invites sinners. He knows that you're not worthy. He knows that you can do nothing of yourself. That's what grace is. Oh, the grace of the invitation of the gospel. The Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And the only basis whereby God can invite you to come to Him in all your vileness, your emptiness, your danger, and the many, many years that you've wasted in sin, the only ground that God can invite you to be forgiven and saved because of the cross. My friend, you ought to thank God for the cross of Christ tonight. With all your heart, to bow your knee and thank God for the Lord Jesus shedding His blood, suffering, giving His life in death on the cross for me. You see that cross, friend, telling me what I deserve. No room for pride, that is it. No room for pride. Ah, dear Russell, you know, one night, attending gospel meetings we had, he was kind of a proud man, you know, he was older than I am, and he didn't like the way I was preaching. He thought that I was being too hard on him, dear Russell, but he didn't know we'd do anything to take that man to Calvary. We'd have given anything and done anything, just like we'd gladly lead you to the cross, friend. The only answer for your soul. Dear Russell, he was a praying man, he was a religious man. But he always only got down on one knee to pray. He got down on one knee to pray. So that night we were speaking a little on the work of Calvary. And from Philippians chapter 2, that every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus, the man of Calvary, is Lord, to the glory of God. And I just happened to say to the folk that night, and I'm telling you, this is the reason I'm telling you, if there's anyone here tonight, and when you hear the preaching like this about the cross, it kind of stirs something up in you, and it's just plain old pride. Remember Russell. I told the audience that night, I said, if you're ever going to get God's salvation, you'll have to get down on two knees. Because I didn't know he only prayed on one knee. And he didn't like that. Two knees, not me. Not me. So he went home that night and got down by his bed to say his prayers on one knee. Some little voice interrupted him and said, Russell, two knees. He wouldn't go down. Russell, two knees. He started to pray. Russell, two knees. Howdy. Including told God what a proud sinner is there. Refusing the Lord Jesus who died on the cross to save a wretch like him. Next night, he trusted Christ in his sin. He bowed both his knees to the cross of Calvary. You're a sinner here tonight. My friend, you'd bow your heart.
Long enough, young man, young woman, older friend, you've traveled your own way, taking the bit in your teeth in the pride of your heart, and some of you long for that dreadful world out there. Let me say, young man, that world will bury you in the loss of eternal fire. It's designed of the devil to keep men busy on the way to hell. You'll be no exception. May God help you to sleep tonight, as you need to hurry away to the cross, young woman. Young man, flee to Calvary. There's the answer that satisfied God. There's the answer that your soul needs. Calvary's cross is the answer for sinners. Flee tonight to the Lord Jesus. Trust Him as your Savior. And for all eternity, you'll be glad to sing about the cross. And you'll be able to say with the dear apostle, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It's the cross work of Christ that does the work that saves the sinner for all eternity. Oh, flee to Calvary, friend, and be saved from hell, even tonight, and that for eternity. Let us pray. Oh, God in heaven, thou hast heard our feeble presentation of thy holy truth tonight, but we commit it to thee. There are souls in this audience whom thou dost love. Thou didst send thy Son out of heaven in order to purchase salvation just for the likes of them. And we trust tonight that their sins indeed may become a terrible mountain to them. And tonight they may bow in the frustration and the exhaustion of their poor sinful soul. They might acknowledge that they are lost and helpless. And find in the cross work, O precious cross, we remember, O God, thy word is said, that the cross, that precious cross, to us which believe, it is the power of God. We thank thee indeed for every drop of precious blood that stained that cross, the devotion of the Savior for sinners like us, every pain and groan that we hear from his sacred lips is precious to us now. It tells us of his love and of a full payment. Receive thanks for the Savior. Bless thy word, we pray, to some poor searching soul tonight. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Number 139, please. We will sing just two verses, verse 1 and 3 of hymn 139. Once more, we wish to thank you for coming. Our only desire, friend, is for your everlasting joy. And if you ever have any questions about your soul's salvation, don't be afraid to ask us. We can't save you, but we can turn you to God's Word, the assurance that God has given us that you might be saved. And so we thank you for coming. Come tomorrow night. If the Lord Jesus hasn't returned, come back. Give your soul a chance. And whatever you do, don't go to your sleep tonight. If you're anxious about your soul, don't go to sleep on the way to hell. There's no need for it. Could you? Trust that you'll take it to sleep. Sing verses 1 and 3 of hymn 139.